Live from the Mammoth Oasis, it's the woman who actually prepared, but she probably did it just to make me look bad. The sports widow, Molly Erdman.
Why would I do that just to make you look bad?
I don't know.
Your intros are always very underhanded.
What are you trying to say?
What I just said. I'm not trying to say anything.
Maybe I have a complex.
Yeah. Huh. When's the last time we did one of these?
A couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Does it feel like forever ago?
It does.
Because so much has happened in the world of sports.
I guess so.
How many things have happened in the world of sports?
At least three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know three things that happened in sports.
I'll tell you three things that have happened.
Great.
The Blackhawks were eliminated from the hockey games.
Yep. The hockey games.
Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are out with injuries.
Yes.
So the Clippers probably aren't going to do much better in the playoffs.
That's correct.
And, Johnny Manziel was he convicted?
Indicted.
Indicted.
Spousal of Bruce.
Well, not spousal. He's not married.
Right. And I said a Bruce.
I'm not as worried about that.
Domestic violence?
Yeah. I assault.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Oh, and Tom Brady.
Oh, what happened with him?
His, the courts, ruled favorably on the appeal, I think. So his 4-game suspension is now reinstated.
That's correct. These are all just things from today, in fact, or yesterday.
I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday and today.
Gosh, I don't remember.
What happened before that?
Oh, we watched the end of a baseball game between the Red Sox and the Astros.
It
went into extra innings.
Yes, we did.
I'm just thinking of everything sports related.
Wow, I mean, I didn't really... I mean, hundreds of things happened in sports, really.
Well...
But most importantly...
I know that there are...
Purple Rain, Molly.
Well, that's not a sports thing.
He was a big sports fan.
I don't believe that.
He was. He was a big sports fan.
Okay.
He played basketball. He was apparently a very good player.
Okay.
Very short.
All right. Just because he played basketball doesn't mean he's a sports fan.
That's true.
What team does he like? Did he like?
I believe the Minnesota teams.
You believe that because he lived there, but do you have any proof of that?
The Minnesota...
I know you can name Minnesota teams.
The Twins.
Uh-huh.
The night he died, they lit the park purple.
Everyone lit everything purple that night. They lit the Eiffel Tower purple. Most towns lit their city halls purple.
He was a fan of most towns.
All right.
Hated Paris, though. No, he didn't.
Let's...
Who could hate the City of Lights, Mo? Even purple lights.
I don't know. We have a couple of tweets.
Wow.
Yeah. A
couple of tweets. That's great.
I know.
I feel like we sped through your sports knowledge, though. There was a lot of knowledge, and we just kind of plowed through it. But we can come back to it. I just feel like on a day when you have that much knowledge.
Kobe.
His farewell?
Did we have a podcast
I think it was right after that, actually. Or maybe right before.
I think it was right before. Because I was in Dallas.
When he did it, right?
Yeah, and then... I don't think we did it last week.
Okay, well, we didn't in that instance. So that also happened.
It did happen.
The end of the season happened. In baseball, there was a no-hitter.
Oh, right, Cubs.
Yeah, the Cubs. Yeah. A lot of things did happen in sports.
Yeah, that was the day Prince died, right? That Cubs no-hitter?
I believe so.
Yeah.
It's hard to line all those things up. What else happened? Steph Curry got injured.
Oh, right.
So a lot of, there's been a lot of action.
Yeah.
But go to the tweets.
We
can get back to some stuff later.
All right. There's a few. Here's a question from Noel, who we know.
Oh, yes. Noel Dineen?
Yeah.
Deep Schwa.
What happens if cities with hockey teams and basketball teams in the same stadium are in the playoffs at the same time? Now, I think I have asked this before, and they just do a really quick turnaround, right?
They can do a quick turnaround. Like for weekend events, they can do one during the day and one in the evening. And the leagues have enough flexibility in the schedules to handle that. Now, when they get into the second round, that's when it gets maybe a little bit more complex.
Right.
Now, the odds are less because there are fewer teams involved, so the chances are less that, that they'll both be in the same city. But, you know, they're I believe those stadiums have like
arenas, really, we're talking about.
Yes, arenas have to kind of book out those dates.
Yeah.
And they have to prepare. Like the Staples Center, I don't know that they can put hardly anything in there because you've got the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Kings.
Right.
And so you have to kind
of... What if all three were in the playoffs?
That has happened before. And it's a real busy schedule down there.
I bet.
You know, the weekends, it's probably like... You know, although at all times, most likely, the weird thing is if the Lakers and Clippers were to meet in a playoff series.
Why?
Well, all the games would be there.
Oh, right.
And then the Kings would be mixed in there.
Are the Kings still in the playoffs?
They are not. I believe they were eliminated.
What are the logistics of creating a rink in an arena? Like when you put that basketball floor down...
Well, they put the floor down. There's a, I believe most places, there's a surface that goes over the ice.
Yeah.
So they're able to keep the, I don't know if they have to drain the ice every time or if they are able to, on a temporary basis, just put a covering over the ice and then put the wood over there. But I know in some arenas at times when they've done that, there's been like condensation that's gotten through. So there's been some issues with that in the past. I would guess the technology is good enough to... You know, I bet they can melt the ice fairly quickly with some kind of coils.
I have to imagine that somewhere on the internet is some sort of time-lapse video of them converting one to the other. That seems like something...
That's something we should watch in 4K.
All right. We have a 4K TV, everybody.
But it to be fair, it barely costs more than our 1K TV.
No, I wasn't bragging. It was an interesting like plug that you wedged in there.
I just wanted people to know how many K's we have.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's but it does seem from a scheduling standpoint that you could run into some problems there.
Sure. Sure. I think they just, you know, I think they anticipate that because they have to.
Right.
And you know, even with three teams over the course of a week, you know, that means you're probably talking about, at max, in the playoffs especially, would be 12 games. And all those games would not be at home. Unless, of course, the Lakers and Clippers were playing each other.
Imagine the scenario where the Clippers and the Kings are at home. Or in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They can't just go according to what is convenient for the Staples Center schedule because it's not fair if one of the teams has like an extra day off than other NBA teams. Like they
I think they leave all of, I think all the playoff time is booked out until
ahead
they know.
Time.
Yes. And there's probably like once a team gets eliminated, they can probably open up some dates and, you know, with an arena that size, you can't put something in last minute. Like add a date in Los Angeles.
Right.
So
they plan for all teams going all the way in the playoffs in the schedule. They have to, right?
I think they have to anticipate that. And now, for example, in Cleveland.
You're doing your patented podcast finger gesture.
Is that a finger gesture I do?
I only have seen you do this during this podcast.
It's a kind of, well, I'm trying to not point in a bad way.
Why would you need to point or gesture to me at all?
I'm just letting you know who I'm talking to.
Normally when we talk, you don't do that.
Should I start?
Just go on.
In Cleveland, had the Cavaliers had to play a fifth game of their series, a Justin Bieber concert would have had to move. So what that means is that there's stipulations in these contracts that an NBA or some kind of playoff game will supersede that, and then they'd have to reschedule it.
But I'm talking about the games with each other, not other stuff coming in. It doesn't matter.
Oh, you're saying like the Kings have a game scheduled that night
yeah.
and the Clippers have a game scheduled that night? They would not do that on those evenings.
So they have to plan the whole schedule in advance under the assumption that all the teams who play in one arena are going to make it all the way through. They have to.
Well, they
How
can't.
Can they, not?
They can't all make it all the way through.
Well,
the Lakers and Clippers could,
but
they all go
but
as far as they can.
Their basketball team and their hockey team would have to go all the way. They have to plan for that contingency. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but that, I think that planning includes, you know, taking some calculated risks, maybe on booking things that can then be rescheduled.
All right.
I mean, it's 365 dates a year. In a big place like that, it's hard. You're going to have open dates throughout the year.
I understand.
You know?
Right.
So
I don't think
it's that hard to accomplish the scheduling thing.
Again, I'm not talking about Justin Bieber concerts. I'm talking about the sports teams.
But even then, each league has a little bit of flexibility.
But that, I don't think that they do. That's what I'm saying.
Sure, they
do. You can't let one hockey team have an extra day's rest just because their venue isn't available.
It wouldn't be an extra day's rest. It would be like at the beginning of the playoffs, they would say, okay, this series is going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This series is going to be Tuesday, Thursday. They would coordinate.
Okay.
Yeah, nobody's missing extra days because of scheduling.
Great. Okay. another question.
You seem unhappy with that answer.
No, it was just long. I'm going to read you the full question, but there's two parts to it.
Great.
This comes from Chris B., who's asked us a question before.
Do we know Chris B.?
Well, let me just ask this question and maybe you'll know. Was Joe Shitbag Balkowski on CIN in the early to mid 2000s? And can you talk about the collapse of the Yankees? So,
so, hold on a second. Who's Chris B? Do I know Chris B? I must.
Chicago CIN is the Chicago Improv Network. That
why
was
would
a
this person
message
know this?
Board? Well, because they were probably around then, Joe.
But why? What? What? How would Shitbag Balkowski come up?
Because they're. What do you mean? How would it come up? Because they were an improviser,
and they listened to this podcast, and they're like, "Hey, that guy in this podcast."
No, I don't think they randomly listened to this podcast. They probably know who you are.
And don't know whether or not I was Shitbag Balkowski.
Well, I think they probably do know. It might be a leading question.
I understand.
Do you want to explain this to our other listeners?
Sure. So, you know how sometimes if you're like, let's say you're a fan of, you know, knitting. Maybe you have a knitting board. On the internet, improvisers have like boards where they talk about very nerdy things in improv.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, I think when I was in Amsterdam, there was this CIN and people were having ridiculous arguments about like the opening of a Herald or something cockamamie like that. And I understand people take improv very seriously, especially as they're first starting to get into it. And I would guess most of the people on these boards were they weren't all, though, because I knew some of them. And so at some point, to amuse myself, it was early trolling, I guess it was. It was pretty effective trolling, to be fair.
Joe took on the persona of Shitbag Balkowski, who was an improvator,
if I recall correctly. That's right. Very good, Molly. I was an improvator
Here's what's funny is that Joe and I have never talked about this.
But you were aware of the
character? Oh, absolutely.
Oh, really? This is before, yes, we were romantically involved.
Yeah.
But we knew each other.
Yeah.
And there was a character. There was a guy named Craig Kikowski who people thought I was making fun of in some way.
I didn't know that.
I wasn't, but it was probably inspired by him, I'm guessing.
That never occurred to me.
Yeah. And so he just kind of, he spoke in broken English and he kind of made fun of people on this improv board about the dumb stuff they said.
It was pretty funny.
It was quite funny, actually.
It was funny because everyone assumed it was you, and yet there was never any confirmation, and it became sort of an ongoing. You were the Warren Beatty of In You're So Vain of improv message board trolls.
Wow. That is, it's hard to diminish that much more, but I'm sure there's something that could be in there. Amateur boards or something. So yeah, that was an early claim to fame, and that's really my best forum. I think
you were going to say that was your best work.
That's possible as well. Some of my other best work, the best,
Jonathan Pitts.
Yes,
reply all.
A man sent a very kind of self-congratulatory email to.
This was before Facebook.
Yes,
if Facebook had been around, he would have just posted
and
on Facebook, and no one would have thought anything
about it. This guy sent a number of group emails to like everyone he knew.
Yeah.
So I was in a chunk with my last name from like A to probably like E or
right.
F or something.
Yeah.
And in it, he sent this self-congratulatory thing because he had been named like one of Chicago's 50 biggest theater influencers, which is like, if you're not on the list, something's wrong. I was not on the list, but
something's wrong.
Yes. And so he sent this thing around and he's like, this list is made up of, you know, producers, directors, actors, writers, and me. And he what did he do? He did an improv festival.
Yeah.
He hosted an improv festival and probably.
So Joe replied to everybody.
Took advantage of the lack of HR in improv festivals. What did I do? I replied all. And if you're listening and you ever send an email and I'm on it and a lot of other people are, I am the guy who will reply all. You know why? Because you didn't CC everybody.
No, you did CC. You didn't BCC everyone.
Exactly. You didn't BCC everyone. And so I'm going to make it hard on you after that.
For instance,
a flaw in my character.
So Joe and I dug up this email because my last name beginning with an E.
So you were on the list.
I think so. I don't know how
this
else I would have gotten it.
How often our paths have crossed, Molly.
But remember, I read it on your last night at Second City.
Oh, yeah.
Because Joe sent an email about how one of his dumps made the list of top 25 dumps in Chicago.
Or in my, no, top 50 dumps of my life.
Oh, okay.
And then I went on to kind of, you know,
mirror the
thing. You know,
yeah.
These dumps include
funny.
Diarrhea, constipated dumps,
and there were so many people on this list who were like, who is this guy? And got really mad.
People from
Toronto.
We're
going to contact his, like, internet provider.
Tried to get me fired from Second City, in fact.
You didn't even work there then.
I think I was in a touring company,
maybe.
Or an understudy or something. Yeah. But a person from Andrew Caldwell or something like that, some Toronto.
Yeah, see if I do still have that. Go ahead.
Some Second City Toronto guy.
Yeah.
Tried to contact. Yeah, because I was in touring company and Beth, who was my boss, he contacted her and was like, "Who the hell is this guy?" And she's like, "Just ignore it." But it was unable to. Yeah, they contacted Yahoo to get my email shut down. It was amazing. But I was proud of that work. And that's to say my best work is when people can't actually hear me or see me, but I have inflamed some situation in some way with writing.
Yeah. I wonder where
I should write for Trump.
Sure. I wonder where I got that email.
Margolis, she sends it back around to people now and again.
Oh, that might be it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to track it down.
Yeah. She.
Okay. The second part of that question was, can you talk about the collapse of the Yankees?
Like generally or this season? I mean, that's obviously a provocation as well. The Yankees right now are 8-10. So like, who gives a shit right now?
All right.
I don't mean to dismiss the. I'm sure Chris is a good friend of mine. I'm trying to think, Chris B, like Chris B.
I know his last name. I don't know. I feel weird like saying people's
full
names.
Sure, of course, especially if their Twitter handle is Chris B.
Yeah,
he doesn't want people to know that he's Chris. Oh wait, not.
No.
Oh. No. Well, then it doesn't matter. Anyway, Chris, thanks for your questions. The Yankees haven't collapsed yet. But here's the thing. If the Yankees are to have a poor season at this point, they're just going to sell off some parts and get some young players. They're set up. They can trade Aroldis Chapman. They can trade, who's the outfielder, Brett Gardner. They can't trade Ellsbury. No one will take him. Maybe they could trade Teixeira for something. Get a little something.
Gross.
He's a switch hitter. So that's the nice thing about this season's Yankees team is that even if it all falls apart, they've got some pieces they can get rid of.
Rebuild.
they can rebuild very quickly. Yeah, they'll get some nice prospects for the players I mentioned there.
Mm. Okay.
So there you go.
All right. This isn't really a question, but someone said this is Andrew M, who I think you know.
Yeah.
Yes. Who has a cricket podcast.
Absolutely. Andrew Mensel doesn't mind
mentioning
his name.
Great start by the Red Sox in Sunday Night Baseball. So I think, again, some people are, they know who you like and who you hate.
Yeah, they're trying to troll me.
Yeah.
That's fine.
They're trying to ship back Balkowski, you.
And that's fine because right now is not a good time for the Red Sox really either. They are the fattest team in the history of baseball. So take that, Andrew. And I know where you live, being fat is even rarer than it is in America.
Wow.
He lives in Ethiopia.
Okay. Really?
That's, no.
Oh, my God. Australia, right?
Yeah.
Did you see this thing that started? I only saw it today. I don't know if it's been circulating longer, where it is men reading awful tweets.
I saw that. There's a couple.
Okay,
I did not watch it, but I
watched
saw
a little of it, and then I couldn't watch it anymore. So basically,
was it with Sarah Spain?
Yeah, it's two women, Sarah Spain and someone else.
Sarah Spain's a Chicago woman.
Yeah,
took classes at Second City.
The other woman I don't recognize.
She's probably an ESPN personality as well.
So it was men, not the men who wrote these tweets, but
Thank
just
God.
Random men.
Kind of like nice guy men, I think, was the attempt at it.
Yes,
at least.
Reading the awful tweets that men tweeted to
like
these
women, I'm going to say it, wishing rape on them and stuff.
Oh, yes.
Ugh.
It was truly, and it starts off like, yeah, okay. Not like it's good, but I'm like, I've gotten some of these. And then it's just awful. Well, I think not me specifically, but like I think on YouTube, women in comedy get similar comments, you know. But
hubba hubba.
But sports is much more misogynistic and male dominated.
Yeah, it is.
God, it was just awful.
Now, how many, I wonder, of these things are men? And how many are 14-year-old boys who have Twitter accounts and are trying to talk tough?
I'm going to say they're adults because there is something so laser focused about the anger and misogyny that I don't think a teenager is capable of it. Like, it's not just like fat dumb whore. it's like one of them was like, she should go back to one of the two jobs women are good at, like cooking and sucking my D.
Oh, like, my God.
I mean,
is the second
really
one
awful.
A job?
Nice, Joe.
That guy's going to some pros, clearly. He got to pay for it.
Oh, yeah. It was just really awful.
How did the guys feel who were reading these things?
Well,
was that uncomfortable for them?
Yes. And there were and this was the part where I was like, where they were like, real like looking back being like, am I really supposed to read that? Like I'm just
right.
curious the circumstances.
Yeah,
like was this
a
Craigslist ad?
Yeah. How did they get these folks?
And then having the woman just sit there, I did not so much care for the setup.
The context.
It was
that
very
they did it.
Very
yeah.
powerful, but there was something like so incredibly contrived about it. And at one point one of the guys said like, I'm just reading this, and the woman was like, okay. And I'm like, well, wait, are you mad at him? Like, he is just reading it. Like,
yeah.
It was, I don't know, it was just really strange.
Yeah, you shouldn't, in a way it sounds like they were kind of victimizing both the men and the women.
Yeah.
Like, to artificially create an emotional
manipulative. Was very manipulative. But, I mean, I think it was reasonable to be manipulative.
Sure.
Powerful.
Right.
There was just something about it that I was like, oh, this is very weird.
And we as comedy people would probably look to tackle that in a different way, maybe. You know what I mean? Like you could make the point, you could probably do something more satirical with it and still try to make the same point.
Right.
But that's just what we always try to do, I guess.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it was a good... It was a good thing to do. Like, oof.
Woof.
I mean, you know, like I said, it started innocent. I don't want to say innocently enough, but it was basically like, you know, why do they have these jobs and stuff? And then just awful.
God.
And it's just, you know, why do people feel the need?
Well, that's the, I mean, that's one of the things about social media is it's kind of, I think it's kind of illuminated what people think.
Yeah.
You know, which isn't necessarily, it's an enlightening thing in a way. I don't know that it's necessarily inspiring information or.
But it also, you know, maybe everyone thought like this before, but it has, because it's fairly anonymous, you know, you might have a username
and you read
or something.
Other things that
and it's
kind
just
of,
instant, yes. You know, and you can just like respond to anything. It's just crazy.
It's unlimited stimulus and also really unlimited opportunity to just respond anonymously.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so it provokes you and then it gives you an opportunity to act on that provocation.
Right.
Much like this podcast and those tweets that we've been getting.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. Very similar. Same,
similar, different sentiments, but similar kind of dynamic.
Well, I feel very bad for, I shouldn't say that as condescendingly, but, you know, female sportscasters and writers and things like that. Like, I think they are starting from such a deficit in terms of people buying into
perception.
What they're saying,
yeah.
That I'm really astounded. And I'll admit, 10 years ago, when there were far fewer women, I remember, and I feel very ashamed of this now, but I remember thinking, like, I don't imagine there's any female sportscaster. Are they called sportscasters anymore? That sounds very antiquated, but whatever.
I think sportscaster.
Sportscasters who is as knowledgeable as like an average
guy.
And I'm not, I don't believe that now.
No.
I did believe that then.
Anchors also.
Yes. And I feel very bad about that. But again, it was, there were fewer of them and it was sort of like, whoa, what is she doing there? What's she trying to prove?
Right.
But I certainly understand it more now. And having been exposed to more female anchors and sportscasters and reporters.
What do you mean by that?
I watch more sports.
And Wendy Nix knows what she's talking about.
They all know what they're talking about.
But Wendy
Nix and they
Nix
probably
really does.
Have to know what they're talking about even more than the guys do.
Well, yeah, certainly they have to certainly hold their own. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, there's still so few.
Listen, if you were confronted with a scenario where, let's say it's the fucking Fox football of four fat guys sitting around talking.
Great name for a show, by the way. Four fat guys, Fox football.
It's all those guys. Sure. If one of them like slipped up on a statistic, it would like there might be some ribbing.
But if
a woman did it, it would be Twitter would be full of like, get this bitch off the air. She doesn't know what she's talking about. You know.
I mean, to be fair, actually, guys get that kind of response back too.
All right, but not as
it wouldn't be as vitriolic.
Exactly.
It'd be more, you're a fucking idiot.
Right.
Like, get your research guy.
Yeah. This would be like, go back home, you whore.
People are looking for opportunities, basically,
yeah.
To be horrible to women.
Yeah.
Isn't that Western society? Isn't that...
You know...
It's not all of civilization.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Several months ago, when Colbert was given Letterman's spot,
yep.
And there was that Vanity Fair cover...
Yep.
And I remember someone, Amy Schumer said, like, because someone asked her, like, why not a woman hosting a show like that? And Amy Schumer said something like, I honestly think people hate women. And I remember being like, yikes. And,
yeah.
But I think she's right. I don't mean like hate, like you hate your mom and you hate your sister, but I mean like hate when you watch them on TV. Like
you
come at them with this thing like, prove it.
Right.
Prove it, lady.
That's because mom was always doling out the punishment, and everybody's got that in the back of their mind of like, no, it's not that.
I guess. I don't know.
We talked about this before. This country, like, women have, had the vote for 100 years? Not quite.
Yeah.
Right? With as racist as the history of this country is, they still elected a black man before they elected a woman.
Yeah.
And people are voting against, the same as for Barack Obama. There are people who are voting against her based on nothing other than her gender.
Absolutely.
And you don't get that with I mean, obviously, when it's usually all white guys, right, that issue isn't there. But it's a, like, that has no bearing, really.
Yeah. And it's, and to me, women are like, you, it's okay to hate them, you know, or discriminate against them.
Wait a minute.
You know what I'm saying.
You're not giving permission.
I'm just saying, well, this is a bigger thing, and I know we're running out of time, but like.
We got pretty serious.
Here's what I'll say. I will say that this is not sports related. This is entertainment related, but I'm sure it is also a parallel to the sports world where I have come across people here who have said, like, I don't represent women.
Oh, right.
You know, you can't say that about other
people. Yeah, you couldn't be like, I don't represent Chinese people.
Absolutely. And I bet, you know, I when I watched this thing today with the tweets, I felt a sisterhood with these women in a way.
Pants? Sure.
Of like, and I think they have it much worse than women in comedy do, but there is a similar thing of like their audience is predominantly male and are being, and the audience is looking at them like, why are you up there?
Right.
Why you? I could be up there.
Right.
You know?
But most of those people are A, not as knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Certainly not as articulate.
Yep.
And presentational.
Yeah. And haven't
way
tried.
Way not as good looking.
Yeah.
I've tried. I'm not as good looking.
I'm not talking about you. I don't think you're saying that to them.
Do you like Wendy Nix?
I have no opinion of her.
Do you know who she is?
Yes. She's the person who at one point you said looked like me.
She's nice.
All right.
All right.
Thank you for tweeting the questions.
Yes. And please tweet your friends to tweet us questions.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're tired of yours. You can continue to send yours, but
if you'd like us to say your last name on the air, please indicate that in your tweet. Hashtag last name.
Yes. And it's been a while since we've gotten a question from our Etsy friend.
I know.
Only Jade.
Only Jade.
I hope you're still out there, Only Jade. I hope we didn't dissuade Only Jade with our, telling you to get an Etsy page.
Yeah. All right. You don't have to.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.